afternoon. It's 5:06 and 59 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
We certainly have the opportunity to be a national and, I hope, an international leader in agritech.
A Moorhead-based greenhouse helped place a new container garden at a Madison County school yesterday.
A statewide audit is highlighting problems that were missed during the pandemic.
Overdose deaths in Kentucky are on the rise.
High school students are hoping to see state officials support the Green New Deal.
Law enforcement in Lexington is asking for a community response to violent crimes.
In sports, Viking baseball and softball are back in action.
Bud Loop has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 43. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
App Harvest marked Earth Day by unveiling a new container farm at Madison Central High School. The event was attended by CEO Jonathan Webb and Governor Andy Beshear. Both men told the audience that App Harvest high-tech greenhouse in Moorhead is a sustainable food growing model for the entire nation that can catapult Kentucky's economy into the future. Madison Central Principal Brandon Fritz tells WYMT the addition of the container farm is an exciting opportunity for students at his school.
And I'm excited because our school, we just want to provide opportunities for kids to grow, to learn, and serve our students the best we can.
The Madison Central High School Container Farm Program will be led by agriculture teachers and FFA advisor Derek Adams. The container farm utilizes cutting-edge LED lighting and a closed-loop irrigation system. Coupled with educational curriculum, the container farm program also teaches students how to make healthy eating decisions.
Volume 2 of the statewide single audit of Kentucky for fiscal year 2020 has been released. State Auditor Mike Harmon's office identified two new critical findings in Volume 2 of the audit. One found employees within the Office of Unemployment Insurance were able to access and view their own UI claims. Some of these employees filed for the loss of part-time jobs despite still being employed full-time by the Commonwealth. Additional reviews by auditors found that at least 10 employees of OUI who had the ability to make changes in the system had accessed their own UI claims within the system. Kentuckian Michael Bryant tells WYMT he's upset with the findings as he has been out of work and struggling to get any help.
It's hard for other people too to trust, you know, any state employee, federal employee, anything once they do this to somebody, especially in families that need this assistance. It's really difficult.
The audit also found the Office of Unemployment Insurance suspended collections as part of the Treasury Offset Program without permission.
Overdose deaths in the Commonwealth are increasing at one of the highest rates in the nation. Overdose increased by 50% between September 2019 and September 2020. Matt Brown with Addiction Recovery Care tells WYMT his organization lost more former clients than in the last 5 to 10 years combined.
In the first roughly 5 weeks or 6 weeks of the pandemic, we saw five of our former clients lose their life to overdose death.
Brown fears that the Commonwealth will be facing a multi-year battle to bring down overdose numbers. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported that Kentucky saw nearly 2,000 fatalities last year, up from 1,300 in 2019.
Last week, many high school students took part in a peaceful protest in downtown Lexington to discuss the topic of climate change. The Sunrise Movement is a national organization using peaceful demonstrations to implore state and federal government officials to agree on a Green New Deal that will not only improve climate conditions but add green new jobs. Callista Case tells LEX18 she's an active supporter of the Sunrise Movement.
That is a national movement that is fighting to win a Green New Deal for the United States and create a bunch of new jobs that are green and sustainable.
The students who gathered on Wednesday are hoping someone in a position of power will hear their message and take it seriously.
Lexington Police Chief Lawrence Weathers says there's no single thread running through recent incidents of gun violence in the city, but the issue needs the full community's attention. Weathers addressed the now 15 homicides committed in just the first 4 months of 2021. The numbers build on a troubling trend, one that sees Lexington setting new homicide records over the last 2 years and on track to do the same this year. The police chief says the killings don't appear to share any one variable when it comes to motive. Some of the suspects are involved in gangs, and he says, but he doesn't consider that to be the driving force behind the crimes. Weathers says it's time for a community response.
I think as a community, we need to sit down and reflect on what it is we value most. And we need to somehow get those values out there to the people who are perpetrating this crime.
Also ask his opinion of the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. Weathers says he agrees with the juror's decision.
In what's being described as a landmark verdict this week, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was convicted of second and third degree murder for the 2020 killing of George Floyd. Kate Miller is with the American Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky. She sees the verdict as a positive step toward police accountability nationwide, but notes that Kentuckians have yet to see justice for Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old emergency medical technician killed by police in her Louisville home last year.
But as a Kentuckian, it was a disappointing reminder of the absence of accountability for law enforcement officers involved in the murder of Breonna Taylor.
None of the officers who fired more than two dozen rounds into Taylor's home during a botched drug raid have been charged. Last fall, the city of Louisville announced a $12 million wrongful death settlement with Taylor's family, as well as a local ban on no-knock warrants.
As protests against racial injustice continue across the country, lawmakers in the Buckeye State are considering bills opponents say would have a chilling effect on free speech. They include House Bill 109, which had a hearing yesterday before the Ohio House Criminal Justice Committee. Supporters say the measure strengthens state laws about rioting and corrupt activity. Gary Daniels with the American Civil Liberties Union of Ohio argues the bill is extremely broad and includes language similar to anti-terrorism laws created after 9/11.
In a not-so-roundabout way, House Bill 109 equates people who engage in civil disobedience at almost all levels with terrorists and says that the punishment can be the state shut down your organization as a result.
Testimony was also heard on House Bill 22, which would criminalize taunting a police officer. Daniel says both bills are part of a wave of new anti-protest bills popping up in several states.
Martin County's concerned citizens are asking to be heard after continued increased fees for water. WMKY's Heather Fannin has more.
A recent proposed emergency rate increase of 11.7% from the Martin County Water District has many people in the area begging for change. After years of issues with the water in the county, people who rely on it consider the idea of a rate increase to be a joke. Martin County Concerned Citizens Group Chairperson Nina McCoy tells WYMT it comes down to pushing for what the people deserve. She believes local leaders need to step up to help the county instead of asking the community ratepayers to take on the burden. The hearing for the emergency rate relief is set for May 27th. For WMKY News, I'm Heather Fannin.
Open Doors Counseling Center opened in February and has already made a presence as one of the only openly supportive LGBTQ plus counseling services in Eastern Kentucky. Owner Robert May tells WYMT he knew Prestonsburg would be the perfect place to set up a safe space geared toward progressive and open thinking. May says he's trying to hire another therapist to help with clients.
I want someone there, you know, up to 5 days a week because I think the need is there. And it's just been challenging to find a therapist who can help me grow the practice up to that level. People in our profession tended to encourage more of a neutral stance on the subject matter. because I think the fear of the political backlash or how people would take it or respond.
May says the center offers services to anyone, not just people of the LGBTQ plus community. The center is only open on Fridays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and appointments can be made by calling 776-6185.
A local search and rescue team is hoping to win new equipment. WMKY's Josh Grogan has the story.
The Wolf County Search and Rescue Team is one of five finalists of the Land Defender Above and Beyond Service Awards in the Search and Rescue category. The organization spends much of its time rescuing hikers and climbers in the Red River Gorge area of the Daniel Boone National Forest. The winner of the contest will be awarded a brand new custom Land Rover Defender. Supporters can find a link to vote on the Wolf County Search and Rescue Facebook page. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 43. Saturday, 100% chance of rain, mainly afternoon, with a high near 57. Saturday night, a 70% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 46. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 63. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 41. Monday, sunny with a high near 73. Monday night, mostly clear with a low around 53.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaf considers the impact of a PhD in pandemics.
Sometimes choosing what to talk about is difficult because of an embarrassment of riches. Do we discuss Andrew Cuomo's miraculous survival, rivaling only Joy Reid's in its conversion of boor to not boor? No, too boring. Or maybe the demonic rhetorical parsing of the gobbling Mitch McConnell would be a good topic. No, too giblety. Tesla's a juicy topic, particularly given how he has inadvertently discovered how to start fires that are almost impossible to put out, cause huge amounts of pollution when they do burn, and cost the environment dearly. No, too musky. Heck with all that, I'd rather talk about learning, in particular what we at our house learned during the first year of the war against the virus. Before the pandemic, we used to say we didn't clean because we didn't have the time. During the pandemic, we realized, no, time isn't the reason. We found that the old saw, avoid it like the plague, really doesn't mean squat because a real plague didn't keep people out of Walmart. We learned that people can recognize you with the bottom half of your face covered, even people you don't see very often. Seeing so many bottom halves of faces covered, we also learned that a lot of people have really beautiful eyes. We realized that being home is not as much fun when you have to be home. Stuck at home, device-assisted communication became even more prevalent, and we may have forgotten some of how to communicate face-to-face or were just out of practice. Lots of people have discovered they like their own cooking better than restaurants. We have too. The virus taught us that we can get used to almost anything, even not getting used to getting used to things. We all learned how our breath smells, for better or worse. We learned that bicycle mechanics deserve our love and respect because they dared to brave the virus to keep people rolling. Our doctors became faces on screens for some of us, and we noticed how much better we like waiting in our own rooms with our pants on. We learned how insidious and evil news reporting that exaggerates or understates can be for everyone. We gained pride in scientific engineering and how to love getting shots. And we learned no matter what, there is always outside, and that there isn't much a minute or two on the porch cannot heal. Congratulations, friends, we made it through the first year. And one more thing we have learned, I hope, is that it's not over. Not by a long shot. Meantime, let's pretend and have some fun. I'm John Modaf.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday. Online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
It's 59 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this chilly Friday afternoon.
Viking baseball and softball are back in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Round County Senior High School softball team is in for a busy weekend. The team is fresh out of COVID protocol, missing the previous five games before last night's matchup with Bath County, where they fell 7-6. Round has worked hard getting back into playing shape since the beginning of the season. Head coach Larry Sloan says hiccups like they just experienced has caused some frustration on the team.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get a layoff in the middle of the year, 10 days, it's going to set you back a little bit, especially when you're trying to, you know, maybe figure out what you have and where you're going and what kids can do and getting your lineup set. All of those things get affected when you have a 10-day stretch where you don't play.
First up for Rowan this evening is a doubleheader against Menifee County. They'll head to the Harrison County Triangle tomorrow for games against Rowell and Cooper. The Rowan County Senior High School baseball team is set to play in another three-way tournament this weekend. The Vikings will head to Powell County tomorrow to take on the Pirates, as well as play the Hazard Bulldogs. Head coach Scott Collins says playing these sorts of matchups can be strenuous, but they're good for team growth.
A lot of times we do those on Saturdays, you know, where we, you know, each will get two games out of it. So, but we haven't been down to Powell County in a while. Last time we went, we were rained out. So, you know, we'll go down there. Good program, good staff down there. So we're looking forward to it.
Round faces Powell first at 11 a.m., followed by Hazard at 1:30. The Baseball Eagles will take the field in Jackson, Alabama tonight for the first of a three-game series. MSU stands at 18-14 on the season, while the Jacksonville State Gamecocks have 18 wins and losses so far. Moorhead head coach Mick Aoki says J-State is a really tough team.
They were, I think, the preseason favorite to win the conference. Their number one starter, their sort of their Friday guy. You know, I mean, we'll see how it all sort of flushes out, but I would say that he's certainly in the running for being the best pitcher in the conference.
First pitch tonight is set for 7 p.m. A doubleheader tomorrow begins at 2 p.m. The Moorhead State softball team welcomes Jacksonville State for a three-game series this weekend. The 10-22 Eagles host a doubleheader Saturday starting at noon with the same start time for the final game on Sunday. MSU's midweek doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University was postponed, allowing the Eagles more time on the practice field after last weekend's 1-2 series at UT Martin. The Gamecocks are coming off of a 1-1 doubleheader to Tennessee Tech on Tuesday to move to 17-20 on the season. Limited tickets are still available, and the games can be streamed live on ESPN+. The Moorhead State volleyball team is headed to Richmond this weekend. The 7-0 Eagles will face off with Austin Peay in Chattanooga on Saturday, then UT Martin and Jacksonville State on Sunday. Head coach Kirsten Becker says she expects two of her beach-only players to shine this weekend.
In our threes is Margaret Musselman and Anya Reinhard, and their strength is that they've been training together this entire year and they know each other really well, and I think they do a good job of seeing the court and just having a beach mind, and so they'll score points at times just because they see things.
Game time with Austin Peay Saturday is 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. with Chattanooga. Sunday matchups with UT Martin and Jacksonville State are set for noon and 4 p.m. respectively. The Moorhead State University football team managed to fight through the COVID-19 pandemic and come out with a winning season. Now their sights are set even higher for the fall. The Eagles finished the season at 4-2 in the Pioneer Football League, tying for second place in the conference, the team's highest finish since 2015. And while it might seem like travel restrictions and fewer games could make for a difficult recruiting process, Coach Rob Tenure says they've managed to excel in that aspect as well.
We established and put together a lot of recruiting information, you know, that we did virtually. We produced some videos and really sold not only our university, but our community and our football team, our facilities. And there's been a trickle-down effect, you know, where some of these bigger schools aren't taking as many players. And I really feel that we've got some players in this year's class that we normally wouldn't have gotten.
The Eagles are currently in downtime. They'll return to prep for the fall season in June. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side items and desserts include garlic knots, breadsticks, chicken wings, chocolate chip cookie, and double chocolate chip brownie. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Rowan County. Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rebounded as Wall Street reassessed concerns arising yesterday from news that the White House could seek a hike to the capital gains tax, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 227.59 at 34,043.49. The S&P 500 was up 45.19 at 4180.17, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 198.39, finishing at 14,016.81. And of course, Wall Street had a turbulent session yesterday after multiple news outlets reported that President Biden is slated to propose a much higher capital gains tax for the rich, and the proposal would hike the capital gains tax rate to 39.6% for those earning $1 million or more. With Democrats having a narrow majority in Congress, many Wall Street analysts are now thinking a tax bill like this could face challenges, and many believe that a less dramatic increase in the capital gains tax is more likely. In earnings news today, Intel shares dropped more than 5% after it issued second quarter earnings guidance below analysts' hopes. American Express fell over 4% after the credit card company reported quarterly revenue that was slightly short of forecasts. Snap shares were up 9% after the company said it saw accelerating revenue growth as well as strong user numbers during the first quarter. Snap broke even on the bottom line while posting revenue of $770 million. And Bitcoin plunged overnight, perhaps in part because of concerns about higher capital gains taxes, with the cryptocurrency last down 8%. In the commodities markets, oil is up 1.8% at $62.14 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,776.20 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up $1.29 at $15.18. PPL Energy up 21 cents at $29.16. CSX up $1.29 at $103.11. Marathon Petroleum up 94 cents at $53. U.S. Bancorp up $1.07 at $57.23. And Dollar General is down $1.85 to finish at $213.31. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Ben Hall, Shamari Mosley, Rachel Turner, Heather Fannin, Sarah Mead, Josh Grogan, and Daria Denisenko. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.